In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this 11th Sunday after Pentecost, we have this gospel passage from Mark, which is a rarity. We don't hear from Mark very much throughout the liturgical year. Mark is very succinct in his presentation of the few episodes that he gives us, and nonetheless often gives us certain details that you don't find in other gospels, such as during the storm on the sea when our Lord was asleep, that he had a pillow. Only Mark tells us that part. Matthew treats of this gospel passage as well, but also adds some details. And what I am fascinated with in Matthew is his verb use, because he uses this word of offering, that the friends of this deaf-mute man was offered to our Lord. And he uses this cultic term, prosenechte. It's a cultic term of offering, like when the priest offers the bread and wine to be transformed. When parents, for example, yesterday, who had their children baptized, they offered them to the church to be baptized, and they offered the child to marry, to be consecrated. This is an offering. It's a cultic reality that seeks transformation through a new possession. But speaking of possession, Matthew adds the detail that this deaf-mute man was so because he was possessed. Mark doesn't tell us that. And so here we have this scene of this man who is completely helpless, and he's completely alone, so to say, incommunicative, except for his hand gestures. And he's suffering under this horrible situation. And it doesn't say that they were family members, so no doubt these were very charitable friends who brought him to Christ. And not just brought him physically, but offered him to Christ. They presented him to Christ. We see nothing of his own initiative in this episode. Others bring him to Jesus. Jesus heals him. He's completely passive and needy, unable to help himself. St. Paul tells us that faith comes from hearing, and this man can't even hear. And so our Lord takes pity on him and acts because others acted for him. And this really flies in the face of this Native American individualism that many Americans pride themselves on, which is actually Luciferian. Nobody is here because of your own initiative. You were brought the faith by somebody else. You were offered to Christ in baptism. You grew up in a family. So this notion of radical individualism is antithetical to the Catholic doctrine of the mystical body, because as members of the body, we not only bear the merits of the prayers and the sacrifices of others, we also have responsibilities towards the others, just as these men brought this suffering soul to Christ, because they felt a responsibility. They didn't just leave him to languish. An amputated member makes no sense. We are members of the mystical body, and with that come great responsibilities. It's popular to argue and claim and manifest and protest one's for one's rights, but you don't hear many people protesting for more responsibilities. Yet rights and responsibilities are two sides of the same coin. You don't have one without the other. This use of offering is something we see in Romans 15, where Paul speaks about offering the Gentiles to Christ as a sacrifice. He offers them, not the sacrifices that they make, but the Gentiles themselves become his priestly offering. And so as they're offered to Christ and received by Christ, they're transformed. We see this also in Hebrews chapter 10, this notion, this cultic notion of offering. But Matthew will always use that same verb for those charitable souls who bring, who offer sick, lame, possessed to Christ. And so there's a certain convergence here of something liturgical, something cultic, something missionary. And so all of us are responsible for the mission of the church. People can always pass the buck and say, well, I'm not a priest, I'm not a missionary, or I don't have good teaching skills, I could never teach the faith, I don't have leadership skills, what can I do? All of those become excuses for not living up to our responsibilities. No matter the gifts or foibles that one has or doesn't have, we can all bring a deaf mute to Christ for transformation, all of us. Those who can't speak for themselves, namely the souls in purgatory, who cannot pray for themselves. Every one of us has the ability to liberate multitudes of souls from purgatory through our prayers, through our penances, through our fasting, through our sacrifices. And that's how the mystical body of Christ works. Some help others. And as we help them, they in turn from heaven will help us. Imagine for every soul you help to bring to heaven, you gain an intercessor in heaven for you and your family and your intentions. How many will you have? It depends on you, really. So how does this look? How can I go about making my life mission to save as many as possible from further suffering and to please God tremendously, who demands justice? But we can make that justice for them. They can't do anything meritorious for themselves. They're incapable. They can't pray for themselves. They can't sacrifice. They can't do penance. All they can do is receive. Around World War I, there was an article in the New York Times, and it was entitled, A Real Ghost Story. And it spoke about a priest from purgatory who had appeared to many people in the Benedictine monastery in La Trobe. Eventually, he appeared to a novice after 77 years in purgatory. And he said he had been in purgatory for that long because he received stipends for 7 masses that he didn't offer before he died. Notice that the reason somebody goes to hell, the reason somebody goes to purgatory is for a very particular thing. It's not because of attitudes. It has to do with actions or omissions. Often our actions and omissions come from attitudes, but it's actually the actions and the omissions that make the case. And he told this novice, God has allowed you to be the one to save me from purgatory. You have to pray the Miserere, Psalm 50, 3 times a day, barefoot in front of the tabernacle with your arms in cruciform for 30 days, which he did. On the 30th day, the priest from purgatory thanked him for bringing him out of his travail into heaven. Just imagine the gratitude, the eternal gratitude of that priest towards that novice who in 30 days brought him from terrible suffering to the glory of eternal light. And that's each one of us, if we want. So how does this look? Well, we can just, we don't have to change much about what we do in the day, but we can change the meaning it has. If I hear my alarm and I'm tempted to use the snooze, I don't. I jump up and I offer that discipline for the souls in purgatory. I offer my morning offering for the souls in purgatory. I take a cold shower for the souls in purgatory. I do a mental prayer for the souls in purgatory. I offer it up. You can offer these things from multiple intentions at the same time. Reparation of the Sacred Heart, souls in purgatory, vocations. As you drive to work, go in silence, not listening to podcasts or music, but communing with our Lord, letting Him look on you and you look back at Him with your heart and your mind as you attentively drive, offered for the souls in purgatory. Offering your work throughout the day. You can set your alarm during the day as a reminder throughout the day to offer your labors for the souls in purgatory. Make a small sacrifice that nobody will notice at lunch for the souls in purgatory. Come home praying your rosary for the souls in purgatory. Avoid screen time at night for the souls in purgatory. Go about doing constructive things offered for them. Offer your examen before you go to bed for them, and go to bed on time out of discipline. Offer the souls in purgatory. All of these things add up to multiple works of charity that will bear eternal fruit in the souls of others. And this selflessness, this charity, is so appreciated by our Lord. His justice demands their purification, and nonetheless, He wants us to be a part of that justice to alleviate them. So each one of us can take upon ourselves this mission, and what joy that brings Him. St. Thomas Aquinas says that our Lord has a predilected love for the souls in purgatory because they suffer so much more than anyone on earth. And we all have a duty to pray for our parents, grandparents, our ancestors, those that we've known and those that we haven't known. And the more we do that, the more our Lord will bless our endeavors, and the more intercessors in heaven we'll have. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.